I'm of it. We read this together last week, so I'm going to read it to you again. En ho kai pois ent philake numasten paruthes ekherusen. In which indeed, to the ones in prison, spirits, to the, actually you could translate this, to the spirits in prison, having gone, he preached. All right. Now, for some reason, now last Sunday morning we talked about this, didn't we? A little bit. We touched on that Sunday morning. And where we drew a picture, which we're going to do it again. These classes are overlapping right now. I'm teaching on hell, and you've got your little handout there. At the bottom of the handout, I believe, right here at the bottom of it, it says, do you think Jesus went into the regions of hell? Why or why not? Revelation 1:18, Hebrews 2:14. Also look up the meaning of the word hell in a good Bible dictionary, and 1 Peter 3:19 to 20. At the bottom of it, and that's where we are. All right, here's the earth. Okay? That's the earth. Now, we looked last Sunday morning, and we found out where hell was. Now, how many of you were here Sunday morning? If you don't have that. All right. Sunday morning. Okay. Now, Bill, do you remember where hell is? Down under the earth. Now, it's not in the earth, but it's down under. Where is under? Well, the Bible talks about heaven being where? Up here, all right, above the earth. And then it talks about hell down under the earth. Now, this is down. That's south of it, okay? And then under. Here's down this way, and then under the earth. Now, before Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, before he was raised from the dead, okay, there was a place called Sheol. Look on the back side of that page. And I think the first thing there, the first line, is Sheol. There's a Hebrew word Sheol there. Sheol means the place asked about. And the word Saul, and the name Saul, comes from that very deal. Yes, Brother Bill.
Jim, I don't want to throw a monkey wrench in your deal here, but wouldn't down under be the kind of which side of the earth you're standing on?
Well, we know that heaven is north of the earth. Go up the region to the furthest parts of north. North. Okay, hell must be in the opposite direction. And then it says down under. Okay, here's the earth, and under the earth would be here, would it? But this is down under the earth. Way out here. And how many of you ever seen the movie, it was on TV today, The Black Hole? A Walt Disney movie called The Black Hole. They say in a black hole out in outer space that time does not exist. Everything that goes in there is extremely compressed. That there basically isn't any life. And it literally just sucks in everything there and it holds it. And nothing gets out. It could suck in whole stars and galaxies and stuff. Just choke in the black hole. All right? You heard that, brother?
Yeah.
All right. Now, this is a theory that people have. Well, that may be right. That may be what hell is. It may be where hell is. There is a place in there. Look on that thing there. And it says the Abyssos. Or Abyssos. Where is that? Okay, down there where it says the abyss. Now, you know what abyss means? No bottom. No bottom. That's what? No bottom. And they say there is no bottom in a black hole. Okay?
Like that dream where you keep falling?
Yes. Well, this is what we're talking about now. Alright? This is hell, and this was Sheol. Now, in hell, before Christ rose from the dead, in Sheol, in Hades, okay, the Greek word is Hades, and Hades means the place not seen, alright? Now, this place, Sheol, and Hades, the same place, and one side of it was paradise. This is the place of departed spirits, okay? And the other side of it is torments. Alright, torments. Or hell. Or Hades. Or the place of suffering. Now, one of these days, this place is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. But right now, in Luke, the 16th chapter, Also, you can look that up in that lesson that you have there. And Luke, the 16th chapter, tells you all about, and you can write down what you find out in there, too. Now, we've done this on Sunday morning. But in this hell side of it is where lost people go when they die, even today. When a person dies, they lift up their eyes in hell. Okay? And if you're saved, what happens to the saved people? That tells us in Luke, the 16th chapter, what happens to the saved people when they die.
Going to be with the Lord.
The Lord sends angels to escort them into this paradise at this time. And this was also called what?
Abraham's bosom.
Young lady, there you go. Right, Art. Yummy on the spot. All right. Abraham's bosom. That's what it was called. And it was paradise. The old Chaldean Persian word for paradise was what? Paradise. All right. The Hebrew word for paradise was what? Paradise. Nobody ever translated it. Now here he is coming to all these languages. The Greek word for paradise is what?
Paradiso.
Paradiso or paradise. All right. And the English word for paradise is?
Paradise.
All right. I tell you, I've got some good sharp students tonight. Anyway, this is paradise. This is a place of pleasure. Paradise means a garden pleasure park. If you look on that second side there, that's what it's talking about. And in 1 Peter 3:19, this is where Jesus went down. Now, look up here on this map, okay? Everybody before Christ looked to the cross of Calvary, didn't they? For salvation, and they believed, and they trusted, and they had hope. All the way from Genesis 3:15. What does Genesis 3:15 tell us? Remember? Well, it's the curse and also the promise of the Savior was to come. Now, the first child that that Adam and Eve had, she thought that it was the Messiah. And his name was Cain. And she said, we have gotten, the name Cain means God, we have gotten the man, even the Jehovah, or the Savior, or the Messiah. All right? Well, he wasn't. We know that. That was a big disappointment. It was a disappointment. They saw their sin come to full fruit right there, didn't it?
I have a question.
Yes.
They said when you go to hell, you're by yourself. And there, it's a place of departed, unsaved spirit. So they have their own little niche then. There?
Well, at this time, in hell, the guy could see, the guy could hear, the guy could taste, the guy could smell, the guy could feel. And nothing was good. All of this was a promise of suffering. He saw there and he saw those people in paradise in pleasure, guarded in the place of God. That's an absolute... I mean, have you ever been hungry and watched somebody eat? I remember we were back in Oklahoma one time. And we were about to starve to death. I don't want to starve in Indian stores. But we were back in Oklahoma, and we hadn't had any food. We were hungry. I know I was sitting out there in the car, just kind of chewing on the windowsill. Look at all of these people over there were having a birthday party right next door. And they were having hot dogs with chili on them, and beans, and all kinds of stuff. You know, they had cake and everything. And they looked over and saw us kids, and evidently they must have known that we didn't have anything to eat. Because those people that stayed in that house where we lived didn't have any food, did they, Mom? No food. We were hungry. And that woman looked over there, and it was my fault because I was chewing on the rubber on the window. This hungry little kid, they came over there and said, would you children like to have a hot dog and a chili dog and some birthday cake and everything? And I said, yes. I tanked up. And I took some to my mama. Well, I was hungry. And I was watching somebody that was eating, and I was double hungry, double thirsty. I've been thirsty and didn't have anything to drink. Watch somebody over drinking. Well, that's what hell's going to be like, I guess. Here they did that. Maybe they can look all the way into heaven. Now, the people in heaven aren't going to be bothered with them, but maybe they can see all the way in heaven and see all the pleasures that God's people are having. I don't see them seeing each other. It doesn't talk anything about that. But they're seeing into the guarded pleasure park, which is another torment. All right? In which, indeed, to the ones in prison spirits, having gone, he announced to them. What did he announce down here? When Jesus descended, it says in several different places, you can see there where he descended. You can look at him. What's those verses in there that's on that? Revelation
26.
Revelation 1:18.
And Ephesians 25:30.
Yeah.
Hebrews 2:14.
All right. All these places that tell him about this. Now, what did he announce when he went to hell? Into the place of Abraham's bosom. He didn't go into the suffering part. He went into the place of Abraham's bosom. What did he announce to them?
Gospel.
That he had overcome. That the promise had now become a fact. All the time in the Old Testament when they were looking to the cross, it was just a hope. They believed God would do this. But your salvation was not taken care of until it happened in time and space. Until John 1:14, John 1:18, John 1:1, the eternal God, the Jehovah, became flesh, John 1:14, and led himself from out of eternity into time and space, John 1:18, and died on the cross of Calvary for your sins. He did. Well, after that happened, what was some of the last words that he said on the cross? Well, a lot of the Masalaka, he was one. He quoted Psalm 22 and verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he says, Father, he said, it is finished. And he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. All right? And he put in his hands you and me at the same time. All of his disciples. He said, take care of them. I haven't lost one of them except the son of perdition, which was the son of hell. Okay? Which was you, Issachariot. By the way, Issachariot means the man, Issachariot means the man from Cariot. That's what Issachariot means. All right, that didn't cost you one more cent. Well, Jesus went down here and he announced to these people that he had overcome. That he whipped the devil in the devil's territory. That he whipped the devil in his own country. Guess what is this world called today? Where are we today? What are we living in?
Satan's domain.
Satan's domain, and it's a battleground. I want to tell you. It's a battleground. All right, in which he, indeed, he went to the spirits in this prison. In this guarded place, under watch and guard. That's what the word phylake, it means to be under watch and guard. And this is, having gone there, nominally singular masculine, first aorist, participle, and passive, having been caused to go there, what caused Jesus to go there? Huh?
Jesus. Life, death.
What caused him to go there?
Our sin.
Our sin did it. But what caused him? Why was he able to go there?
He wanted to prove.
John 1:1. John 1:14. God became flesh. And God dwells among us as a man. And as a man, Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. And as a human being related to the human race, he went down into the regions of paradise and announced to them that he had overcome, that he was the second Adam. The first Adam failed, but the second Adam was a conqueror. All right? The conqueror. Paradise. When he went down there, and the Bible tells us that when he rose from the dead, and by the way, Jesus dying for your sins was not enough. Did you know that? If Jesus only died for your sins, you'd still be in them. Did you know that? What justified you? the resurrection. We are covered by his blood, and we are justified by his resurrection. So it didn't just take the one, it took both. What is the word resurrection in Greek? What is that word?
Anastasios.
Anastasios. It comes from ana and stasio. That means to stand again. To stand up again. He died as a human, part of the human race. He was related to us. God became flesh. He was God. But God became flesh too. He was related to us, and he tasted death for you and me. And he went down into this nether regions, the place of departed spirits, the place where all of the saved went
for the resurrection and for the death of Christ.
Then it says that he took them with him. When he rose, he took them with him and took them to heaven. Because now they can go to heaven. They couldn't go to heaven before. They had to go to this place where they were watched. Place separated with a great gulf between the place of suffering and the place of paradise. But after his death and after his resurrection, he took all of those dead ones. Turn over to 3 and 20 now. Okay, say sausage. Okay. Okay. Apex. Dec. Eto. Eto theo. Makra thunia. In hemeros. Zoa. Tarascu zomenes. Kibatu.
Kibatu.
Ace,
N,
Oikoi,
Oikoi,
Two, Esten,
Esten,
Octo,
Octo,
Decay,
Decay,
Octuke, that is, the S, so, Zes, so, they saw,
the S, so, they saw,
the Datos,
the Datos.
Now, all I can talk about a verse that's been talked about and written about for 2,000 years, here's one of them. And that other one, too, by the way. For the ones having been disobedient, then, when he kept on waiting, the long suffering of the God. See now, see that word "hay" there, and "macrothumia." That's that Devonian article describes that's down here. This long suffering of God, belonging to God, in the days of who?
Noah.
No. All right. How long Noah preached?
120 years.
How long did Enoch preach? Righteousness. He preached what? What did Enoch preach? According to the book of Jude and several other places we quoted in the New Testament, a lot of places actually. You ought to read the book of Enoch. I'm not telling you to believe all of it, but you ought to read it anyway. It's on the website, discovertheword.com. You can find it right there. You can make yourself a copy of that by printing it out. What did he preach?
Righteousness.
He preached righteousness.
Judgment.
Judgment to come. For 300 years. Noah preached it for another 120 years. Now we got 420 years there that the judgment is preached. And what was one of the sons there? His name was Methuselah. And he lived longer than anybody on the earth. What was his name? I mean, what does his name mean?
When he's dead, it
should come to pass. When he's dead, it should come to pass. What do you think he's talking about? Judgment, the flood. His ancestor, Enoch, had preached it. Now, Noah is preaching the same thing. Judgment to come. The long-suffering God. But God is going to get tired of this, and he's going to judge the world. What does the Holy Spirit do today? He convicts people of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Same thing as he did back then. That was his job back then. That's his job right now. Okay? All right. Some of these were disobedient in the days of Noah. And then it says a boat had been prepared, a boat, under which few That is, or this is, eight souls. They were saved through the water. All right? They were saved through the water. Now let's look at a lot of this. First of all, eight people got in the ark. One person was raptured that lived in that day. Who was the person that was raptured? Enoch. What do you think Enoch represents to us today?
Church.
The rapture of all the saved before the tribulation period. What is the tribulation period? What does that represent?
It's the water of Noah's flood.
That's judgment. That's the water that came upon the earth. Okay? Over the whole earth. The tribulation period is going to come over the whole earth. It's going to be for one great purpose, though. There are going to be some people saved during the tribulation period. Thousands of people, without even number, are going to be saved during the tribulation period. But they will have to die to witness Christ. Now, from what I understand from the Word of God, that those people on the outside of the ark, some of them died and went to hell. But when it started raining, and when God shut that door of that ark, I believe the greatest revival on the earth had taken place, or was taking place right then. But there wasn't any way in the ark. The door was shut.
They had made their choice.
They had made their choice. It was too late. Some of them went to be with the Lord. That's the ones that were down here in paradise. These are the ones that were disobedient. It tells us earlier than this who they were and everything, and here all of it ties together now. And it says that a boat had been prepared for those that had believed before the judgment came. Now, the Lord tells us that the flood of Noah and the judgment in Noah's day is a direct type of what? The last days and the second coming of the Lord. Now look at this little chart up here. You see the arrow going up? That represents the rapture of God's people. Judgment is poured out down on the earth. What was poured out on the earth in judgment in the days of Noah? And how did it come? All right, there was an ocean in the sky, by the way, a sea in the sky, and God opened up rivers to run on the earth. The whole earth was covered around in a bubble of water. There was oceans in the sky. This is the Hashemayim. Okay? Hash, ha, in Hebrew means what? Ha. Ha-adam, ha-aritz. Ha-adam is the Yad. Ha-aritz is the earth. And Hashemayim, guess what that is?
Heavens.
The uplifted. Mayim. May.
Water.
Plural. Okay? The uplifted waters. That's what the name heaven means. And originally, that's what it meant. It was the waters that covered the whole around the earth. There was a bubble or an ocean in the sky. Okay? Now, in Noah's day, there were three sources of water. The oceans in the sky were opened up and dumps of the earth. What else?
The depths of the sea? Or?
The rain.
It never had rained before. They didn't know what rain was at all. It started raining. And what's the other? The fountains of the deep opened up and flowed out. And it tells us that the tallest mountains were covered by a lot of water. And by the way, the water's still here. If you melted all the water, it probably still covered these mountains in the same way. That's what happened in the days of Noah. Three sources of judgment.
And if people repented, like I've asked you before, they would be saved.
Yes, if they repented, if they cried unto God and asked God to save them and say, I'm sorry, God, God will save you. He saved the thief on the cross. That guy couldn't get down and do not one good work, and he'd been a criminal and an outlaw and a murderer all his life, hadn't he? Okay? Then it says here, there was only a few. It says, the boat having been prepared, under which a few, this is eight souls, they were saved through the water or through the judgment. All right? Here's the story. They were brought through the judgment. They were lifted up, weren't they? They were lifted up in this put that word. Ki motu. Ki motu. That sounds like a boat in the middle, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Ki motu. All right? In this boat, in this container. All right? By the way, it's the same word for the word ark. It was a container. The Ark of the Covenant, it was a container. Now, 321. Ho. Tai. Imas.
Imas.
Anti-people.
Anti-people.
Mean.
Mean.
Sose.
Sose.
Baptisma.
Baptisma.
Mu.
Mu.
Sarkos.
Sarkos.
Apophasis.
Apophasis.
Rupu.
Rupu.
Allah.
Allah.
Sin A. De Seus.
Sin A. De Seus.
Agathes.
Agathes.
Ethi wrote Tema. Ace.
Ace.
Theon.
Theon.
B.
Him.
Anastasios.
Anastasios.
Jesu.
Christu.
All right. That's pretty easy on the Greek one. There wasn't any hard words in there. Some of them come right in the English tone.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hol. Kai. Himas. Which also ye. Okay? Now here we have a little relative pronoun, that ho, and then kai here is a cumulative particle on page 280, if you want to look that up. And then it says ye. All right? Ye. And then it says anti-typhon. Antitype. What does the word antitype mean? Have any of you got any antitypes in your house?
Show me what's that.
Has anybody got an anti-type in your house?
Anti-ant.
I bet every one of you have an anti-type. Every woman's got to have an anti-type. What in the world's an anti-type?
Mirror.
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 Oh,
mirror. How many of you women have a mirror in the house? Probably got one in your purse or something. All right, got to take one with you. What does a mirror do?
Reflects.
It shows you an image of you. We were flipping around to the channels on TV the other night. There wasn't anything to watch on there. And I went to a travel channel or something. They were down in the Papua New Guinea. And they were discovering a brand new tribe of wild people down there. And one of the very first things that they gave to these people was an anti-type. Mirrors. And they'd go like this, and look, and jump back at it, because they were seeing their, a reflection of their own face. And it says, in which ye also look in a mirror now. This antitype. This reflection. It saves us baptism. What was this baptism talking about here? What was this baptism? This immersion.
A spirit.
Huh?
A spirit. A spirit of flesh.
What made evident that these people in over here in Noah's day, what made it evident that they were saved? Now, everybody got the water. Everybody got baptized. All right? I used to have a brother, my brain doesn't work either with this mess. Hoyt Chastain. Brother Hoyt Chastain used to say that baptism kills some people. Baptism shows some other people that they are saved. Sometimes baptism kills people. This baptism here in the days of Noah, that immersion of the whole earth in water, or my water, what did it do to everybody on the outside of the ark? They drowned. They died. Even the animals died. Now, if you're baptized for salvation, you're dead. That's bad. You know what? If you're baptized for salvation, it won't work. That's going to kill you. Did you know that?
Church of Christ people don't know it.
If you're baptized to try to get you to heaven, it's not going to work. You have to be baptized because you are saved. we'll look at this a little bit more. More, let's go forward. This baptism, what it does, it makes evident your salvation. Baptism, when the ark was lifted up by the waters were judgment, weren't they? When Jesus, it says we're baptized into his, what?
Family?
Into his?
Church?
No.
Bosom?
No. Come on, guys. Women now. Joanne, what'd you say? We're baptized into his death.
Should
have. That's what the Bible says. We're baptized into his death. We're baptized because of his death. Alright? Because of that, Acts 2:38. You're baptized because you're saved. Not to get saved, but because you're saved. Alright? If you're baptized to get saved, you're killed.
It should be easier to know since it means to immerse, not to mount blood.
Immerse into that. Those people out there on the outside of the ark were immersed unto death. Weren't they? If you're baptized for salvation, you're baptized unto the death. When you're saved, we are saved unto Christ's death, and we are baptized because of his death. Not the flesh putting away filth. Ou, sarkos, apathesis. That word comes from two words. It means to place away. Placing away. It doesn't place away the filth. How many of you have got so dirty that you've got in a bathtub and the bath water just turned brown? Or you shower and just turned into mud? You've been out on the forearm here a couple of weeks ago. I was out in that all day long in that dust storm, and when I got in the shower that afternoon, it ran with mud. Washed my hair, this is mud coming out of there. My ears were full of mud. Mud all over the place. Well, that's not why you're baptized. You're not baptized to get better. Why were the Ethnies and the Qumranians, why did they baptize each other? They baptize each other every day almost. They baptize for cleanliness. And they baptize for spiritual cleanliness and physical cleanliness. Every time they go to the bathroom, they have to be baptized. This is really, these people were really outrageous. You can read that in some of the histories there. Well, what Peter is saying here is that didn't work. You're not baptized to get clean. Don't worry about it cleaning you up. You ought to be taking a bath other than that. Alright? Putting away the filth, but there's a strong adversity conjunction. Look at on page 15 if you want to. Allah. Sin a deseos. And this is an interrogative here. Now, I'm going to read you something that I wrote a long time ago. Ceremonies really do affect the conscience. Ceremonies really do affect the conscience. The ceremony that we go through. The Lord's Supper and baptism really do affect your conscience. When you're saved, the first good thing that you can do after you're saved is what?
Be baptized.
All right? After you're baptized and a member of the New Testament church, then you can take the Lord's Supper with that church. And that does what to your heart? It gives you gladness, it gives you joy. All right? And that's the order in which these things are done. If you look at the tabernacle and the temple. Did that thing click over?
No.
The tabernacle and the temple, both of them, it showed the order of baptism. And where was the table of showbread? Which is the type of the Lord's Supper and the Lord's Church.
Inside
the temple. All right. But you had to go by the altar, which typified what? Salvation. You had to go by the laver, which typified baptism. And then in there, and there's where you fellowship the Lord. All right. not putting away the filth of flesh, but it is a it is an answer, it is an interrogation unto God by the agency of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at that. It's a good conscience. God interrogates our hearts. Did you know that? This word, the word interrogate actually comes from this word in its different forms. When somebody interrogates you, what do they do? How many of you ever watched the old Untouchables? Stuff like, you know, these old movies with the FBI and all that kind of stuff. What did they do when they got a guy that was they thought was guilty of something? They go in there and do what to him? They shine a light right square on him. Put him in the hot seat and beat him up a lot. Slap him around and everything. Do you know what the word interrogate actually means? To make somebody answer by blows. To hit him and say, hit him, and then say, it means to investigate by means of physical force.
This is the Peru Tema?
The Peru Tema. Alright? It the epi on the front of it does what? Alright? Erotao, that means to interrogate and question. And then the epi on the front of it does what to a Greek word? When you've got a preposition on the front of it, what does it do? It intensifies the action. All right. How many of you ever felt him blows by the Holy Spirit of God? Mm-hmm. Ever feel him beating up on you a little bit, trying to get you in line? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Holy Spirit does that. He whoops on you a little bit, spikes your little bottom now and then, just kind of gets you in the straight and narrow. The word child in Greek, it means a spanking child, paideos. It means a spanking, to spank up straight. And the Word of God spanks us up straight also. As you study God's Word, it washes and cleans you. And it also interrogates your conscience and aims you toward the things of God. That's what the Word of God does. And the Holy Spirit washes our conscience and washes our hearts and washes us and makes us white as snow. Better than any bleach. But a conscience doeth an answer unto God by the agency of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, what does baptism teach? What does baptism teach? Was baptism new in Jesus' day?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? No one knew. The Jews, John the third chapter, if you go to John the third chapter, you'll have to do it right now, but if you go there and read it later. Jesus is talking about this. He's talking to a guy named Mobbuster, Nicodemus. That's what Nicodemus means. Nico, to conquer, and Demas, a mob of people. He was a mobbuster. He was a wide earth of his day, so to speak. That's what that name means. All right? He pistol whipped a few guys and got the mob straightened out. Okay? That's what a wide earth did out on the streets of a tombstone. He pistol whipped a few people and got them straightened out and whooped up on the mob. Said Nicodemus. Well, Nicodemus was a great rabbi and teacher of Israel. He was a master teacher of Israel. And these master teachers would make disciples. And they would even make disciples of people that weren't Jews initially. They were born outside of the promise of God. And so when they would get a Greek, so to speak, I tried to talk to Athens today on the radio. By the way, there's a thing on there called Echolink. You can get on your computer, and with your ham radio call sign, you can talk all over the world, people, by voice. All right? Well, if a Greek came to Jesus, or, well, to one of the rabbis in the Old Testament times, and they discipled him, and he studied the Word of God, he went through all the little ceremonies. One of the last things that he was supposed to do was shake his head, shake his eyebrows, everything, all his hair off his body, and he was to be dipped, immersed, baptized. He would die to his old national background and be raised anew. I was listening to Brother John Draper. He's probably dead now. He was used to be a counselor and a teacher. And he said, I remember the time that I went forward, and I can't remember what San Francisco or someplace he went, to a court of law, and he stood up and he renounced his old state, which was Australia, and became a citizen of the United States. And he was crying and yet happy at the same time. He was laying aside his old nationality and was taking up another nationality. And when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about this, he said, you mean to tell me, and they call this being born again. This whole process was being born again. He was born anew. They would die to their old nationality and be born to a new way of life. And they lay down and died, and they rose again to newness and to a brand new life. Baptism teaches the death of Christ and the death of you to your old self. How do you know that you're saved? John in 1 John says, little children, techna, little children, these things, I write unto you that you might know that you are saved. A dog acts like a dog. A pig acts like a pig. Unless he's been raised with dogs. My dog tries to bark and he runs around like a dog. And my pig does. And he thinks he's a dog. But a bird acts like a bird. A dog acts like a dog. And a horse acts like a horse. And they do. You know, they act like what they are. Children of God act like children of God. All right. When you're lost and you're living out in the world, and Peter says this on down the road, we had our fleeing in sin. We had our fleeing. We ran with all the other dogs. But it's time to put the ways of the dogs away and get in God's crowd. You ran with a mob once, but now God wants you to go His way. And one of the very first things you can do when you decide to go God's way is what? Get dipped. That's right. Be baptized. Join a New Testament church. And identify yourself with the Savior. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. Okay? And we're baptized in the death of Jesus Christ because of the death of Jesus Christ. And if you leave you down in the water, what happens? You die. You're drowned. So you can't leave the guy down there. You've got to raise him up, and you're raised up as a type of, as a mirror image of what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what it says. The anastasios Jesu Christu. All right? Three in verse 22, and we will finish with the third chapter of 1 Peter. Kos, Jesu, and Dixia, Dixia, Theu, Parutheis, Ace, Urano,
Urano,
Hippatag Geton,
Hippatag
Geton, Auto,
Auto,
Angelon,
Angelon,
Kai,
Kai,
Exusion,
Exusion,
Kai,
Kai,
Dinamio,
Dinamio.
Who? This one. This person, this who, nominative singular masculine, relative pronoun, this person, he is in or at the right side of God. The word to there is actually in brackets, so it really wasn't in the original language, but it's a practical substitute, so you can put it there, you can leave it out, it doesn't really make any difference. Because it's there, it's understood, agreed. He's at the right side of the God. Now what does the right side mean?
Honor.
Position of honor. It's the position of glory.
The one that sat on the right throne in a palace was in the position of glory. That's the boss. That's the boss. Jesus came down on this earth and he was a servant once. But guess what he is now? He's the boss. Alright? Having gone unto, this little Greek word ace there, look at that. You can look that one up on page 119. This means the extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. That's what the idea of that little preposition means. A lot of people say that it cannot be translated. Baloney. You got a brain. God gave you a brain. You know what kind of action's here, don't you? You know what kind of action's here. We're, he's at the right side of God, having gone where? Unto or into heaven. Where did he go? When he took them down from here, where did he take them? To heaven. In heaven. He didn't go around and by or on the other side of heaven, but he went in heaven. Ace. Unto heaven. That was the end, the extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. That's where he went. Okay? There really is. Sometimes it means because. Right here it means in. Or unto. It means there. And then it says, having been subjected, that's hypotagein. This comes from hypo and tasso. And this is a what you call a genitive absolute. By the way, this is what you call a genitive absolute. Having been subjected to him. Now who's this him? Jesus. This is Jesus pursued. Alright, this is Jesus. He is God. Having been subjected to him, calls to bow down to angelon. That's really related to the English word angel, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Alright. All angels. Kai, exousion, and what? Authority. Kai, dinamion. What's this dinamion? We have a word in English that comes right out of this. Dynamite. Dynamite comes from this word. That is, dynamite is powerful in it. What's the most powerful explosive in the world now?
Split
atom. Huh? Split atom. Split the atom. You know what? Atom? It comes from a Greek word. It's atome. Atome. What does the word atom mean?
Not
able to be split. If you split an atom, what happens?
That's
that. Well, what do you know about that? When you split an atom, what happens? Destruction and disorder. Alright? Now, it says all angels and all authorities and all powers, dynamite powers, are subjected to the Son of God, to the one that humbled himself that we might be saved, to the one that humbled himself and became the servants. He humbled himself. What did he do to the disciples' feet? He washed the feet. He became a common servant. He washed their feet. Why? In the biblical days, when a guy came into a person's house, there was a table that was set out in the middle of the room, and there were couches that were around this in a circle most of the time, or at least in a horseshoe shape. And the people would lay up to the table where the food was, and somebody would walk behind them and wash their feet. They would be laying up here. Let me show you. Here's the table. Here's a couch like this running around here. This is a couch. And there's blankets and stuff laying on top of this thing. And they're laying up here with their heads right here. They're sitting on one elbow and eating with the other hand. And their feet are sticking out like this. Now, someone would carry a thing of water, some kind of a bucket or dish of water, and they would go behind and wash those people's feet off. And it says that Mary came up behind Jesus and washed his feet. You come up behind this person, and their feet would be washed, and she washed his feet with her tears, and dried his feet with her hair. They would wash their feet with this water and then dry their feet with a towel. And this was the job of a servant. And when Jesus went to wash Peter's feet, guess what Peter did? He stuck his own foot in his mouth. What did he say?
No, don't do it.
You're not going to wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you won't have any part in my kingdom. Oh, he says, don't wash my feet only, just wash all of them. He said, you've already been washed, Peter. Just now and then you need your feet to get dirty and they need to be washed. He was teaching humility. He told them, he said, if you want to be number one, if you want to be great among the disciples, what do?
Yes.
Be a servant. You know how you can tell the great ones in the world today? They're the servants. They're the ones that don't ask for anything. They're the ones that serve for free. They're the ones that go around and come out every Tuesday night on for the fellowship and for the visitation of the church. They go out and they work. And they're the ones that teach the Sunday school classes without pay. And they're the ones that go and visit people in the hospital. And they're the ones that take and help each other. They're the ones that are leaders in the Sunday school classes and the discipleship classes. These are the servants. You want to be first? Then you need to be a servant. You need to be last. Hands are all numb. God wants you to become the kind of servant that He was when He was on this earth. If you're saved, you ought to be baptized. You ought to join some New Testament church, and you ought to get in and serve God. Because that's what you need to do. You need to do that. And if you're saved, and if you're in a church serving, you need to be doing something. You need to be visiting. You need to be witnessing. You need to be teaching. You need to be a diakonia. What is the word diakonia? That's a Greek word.
Dust kicker.
When I was out in the oil fields, we called it the oil patch back then. When we were, if they were sitting around when the pusher came up, you know, what they call the pusher, he was a boss, superintendent. If you came up and the driller was out there, he said, boys, get out and stir up a little dust. Do something. Make a little dust out there. Make them think you're doing something anyway. Get out there and shovel dirt, do something. Kick up a little dust. The word deacon in the Bible means dust kicker. It means somebody that stirs up dust for the Lord. And I don't mean cause trouble. A lot of deacons do that. They shouldn't be causing trouble. They should be taking care of the trouble. Maybe they shouldn't be quieting the trouble. They shouldn't be dousing the trouble. They should be helping the pastors. So the pastors can do their job of teaching and preaching. These are the things that God expects of His people. Next week, the Lord willing, and the creek doesn't rise, I'll be here in 4 and verse 1. Please pray for me. Through all its trials and tribulations, it seemed without end. Thank you for your attention tonight. God bless each and every one of you. And Brother Ken, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Thank you, Father God, so much for this time that we have together to look into your word. Thank you so much for all the many hours and years that Jim put into studying this, that for your will that somewhere down the road today that we are able to listen to Him and put so much time into your word. I just thank you so much for that. I pray, Lord God, for all those who aren't able to be with us this evening, I pray you just help them in whatever they're doing. Bless us this evening and bless us as we go our many directions. And, pray a special prayer for Dakota, Lord. Bless this day. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Good lesson. Yeah, that was awesome. That's from the Word.
You know, Jim, this morning, Bradley and I attend a Bible study, a community Bible study for years, and we've been studying the book of Matthew, and we just studied last week, if you want to be first, or in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. So it's just we keep touching on stuff we've done. It's just marvelous.
Well.